charge, the king of the jungle. Leaks got the hustle, always on the go. Petty D-Stern, bringing heat. Foolies new school, keeping it clean. Bring with the chill, smooth with the flow. Freaks got the stats, every note you know. Change is the boss, rocks what it takes. PTD's the show that debates and shakes. Running is a social where opinions collide. Hot takes, sharp lines, no place to hide.
There we go. Here's another great episode of PTD. I have on the show with me today, Pat. He is back with the media team. We have Penguin, Freak, and as well as a newcomer, Joker. I'm sure you've heard him on his little podcast with Big Red. If you haven't, you can check it out on Big Red's Twitch. I think it's somewhere in the live chat. We'll make sure it gets up on the media stuff as well. Man, what a great break it's been leading up into season 32 here. We're going to jump right into it, guys. With the conclusion of the draft and all the owners shifting around to new teams, what was probably your biggest surprise of the draft? And maybe which coach do you think is the best fit for their new school? Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, biggest surprise of the draft for me is going to be the, and of course, he's always involved in a little controversy, Smitty choosing a team and then not wanting that team. Shocker. He goes out of his way to make things difficult. And then South Carolina getting drafted 7th overall is big for me because I think D-Ray is choosing a team that he not only has a winnable goal with, but also a team that is supposed to be a top 10 team next year in college football. So those would definitely be the big two biggest surprises. And then I got to go with my guy, Holmey. He's got to be the best fit for his team. Went to school there. Super stoked for the guy. Does, you know, so much for the league. And I'm sure he'll fit that scheme just fine.
Those are some great picks. Jumping in for me, I'm going to have to say the biggest surprise is that Louisville was still there at 22 for Sergeant ZT after he previously took TCU to the playoffs. I think, you know, TCU is not a bad team, but I think Louisville is a far better team. And to get them that late to a coach who's proven he can do something is pretty significant. As far as best fits go, I got to go even farther down in the draft. And I think Steam getting Cincy at 56 is a steal. And also a team I think you're going to see a little bit of a resurgence from him. You know, Texas, it was high expectations, a really good team. But I think Cincy is going to fit him a little better in the long run with the strengths they have.
A freak.
Well, my biggest surprise was Holmey getting his team at 18. Being able to land your school in North Carolina State University and the other owners giving respect and letting him get his team instead of trying to take him. Another surprise happened to be Andy going to Colorado. I feel like he is going to do very well with them. He just has to worry about their offensive line. And then the best fit, I also have to go with North Carolina State and Holmey. He knows them inside and out. And I feel like he's going to be able to do damage in the ACC.
Hey, gentlemen, those are some good picks. I'm going to switch it up a little bit and just say that ultimately the biggest surprise for me in the draft was that the SEC got even stronger. Just looking at some of the coaches that went into that conference, to think how great that conference was last season, and now you got even more coaches that are in that that conference. It's pretty exceptional, so I'm pretty interested to see how that goes and how they beat each other up. When you're looking at just a surprise team for me, seeing TCU make the CFP last season and drop all the way to the 61st pick in the draft was kind of a surprise for me. And the last piece I'll say is the one guy I think that Got a good, great team with his draft pick. A very fast team is Texas Knoll with USC in the Big Ten. I think he's gonna cause some trouble with that speed at USC. So that's what I got.
Man, those are some all great picks. I think the draft is always interesting because things always shake out differently than what everyone expects. Definitely with the top 10. I definitely noticed that more members in the league are starting to realize that it doesn't matter about your season success. Taking those low 2-3-4 win teams and exceeding those win goals and getting all your participation and stuff, those points really add up quickly. Move on to the next one. Obviously, Big Block 1 is opening up after NDL game day on Saturday. What are some of the big week 1 or even week 2? So we'll just go Block 1 matchups you guys are looking forward to.
Well, I'll lead this off here. It's my turn. There are two games. Really, there are a lot of great matchups to give you, but there are two games I look forward most to watching because of the matchups. And first one is actually in week 2. And that's going to be the Tennessee Vols going to Boise State and the, you know, in parentheses, Heisman Trophy winner, Jeanty, sitting back there. I think that is going to be a high-flying shootout. It's going to be fun to watch and just see how that Heisman defense campaign kicks off. And then also, of all the other good matchups, there are tons I could have picked, but I had to fall back to Florida and Miami. Dealer and Big Mike, it's going to be a battle. Two guys who are both going to be in the playoff mix most likely, and plus one of the teams gets to lose, and as a Knoll, I'm happy to see that. Freak.
Penguin is still upset about Janty winning the highest point, a 5-loss team. I love it. I gotta say, I'm gonna go outside the box here. One of the games that I like is week 2, Indiana at Utah. Tony is a great coach. And Marion is coming from Old Dominion after getting the death sentence. And he's going to be able to show how well he can do Utah. One other game that caught my eye was the number one pick in the draft, Washington State University, heading to Ohio to face the Toledo Rockets.
With you there, go Cougs.
Oh, Cougs is right. I'm going to jump in and say that I got actually two coaches that I was pretty impressed with their Block 1 schedules. The first one's Decane at Georgia, playing Michigan and Notre Dame in his first 2 weeks. And when you think about the conference that he plays in and his schedule, he's got two big games right out of the get-go and both on the road. So he's really going to have to show up in Block number 1. And the other coach I got for Block number 1 that I was impressed with their schedule, we already highlighted one of those games, his Phony at Indiana. He's going to play in San Diego State, who I think is an exceptional coach, has a strong run game. And then he's going to, second week plays Marion County at Utah. And so both those coaches came out of the get-go and had some difficult Block ones. You got to give them props for being bold and scheduling that tough schedule. The other one that I'll highlight is Iowa and Texas. Big Red signing up for a big game with Texas, and looking forward to seeing if he can compete there and take Jiggy down to the wire.
Yeah, it's tough going last on stuff like this because all my answers just got swiped, which is fine. Definitely the Utah-Indiana game because Phony is a interesting guy to play. I've played him multiple times in the preseason myself. Hell of a user. Really mixes up the play call, so he's like a unique matchup situation. But I just, again, and I know I did it in live chat yesterday, I really want to give Rain and DK and their flowers for scheduling a really big-time out-of-conference game. I want to say, and this is totally going off the top of my head, I feel like that's the first like week one game we've had since we've been back where two playoff teams from the year before opened up the season. I totally just came like whip that out, but I'm pretty sure just off memory serving that is the first time we've had that. So just kudos to those guys for playing. Plus they know each other really well, so it's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah, this season, I looking at the out of conference schedule, I feel like this season we have a really good, a lot of the conferences when it comes college football playoff time, we start comparing against each other to who gets that extra team in and out. If you look at the out-of-conference schedule this year, a lot of those conferences in the past that we've compared against each other, they play each other this year. Some of their better teams, such as Florida, Miami, which will be a great way to kind of compare the two teams when the playoff comes around, or compare the ACC versus the SEC when we're looking at those two or three lost teams getting to the college football playoff. Man, it's just like real life, man. I love the out-of-conference scheduling because you get to compare conferences to other conferences as opposed to just
being. I got to butt in a second. Are you saying head-to-head matchups matter?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, I'm just making sure I heard that. Okay, all right.
I don't think there's so anyone on this show right now that would not agree that a head-to-head matchup in football would probably be a tiebreaker if teams had the same losses. Next, we'll just kind of talk about it. We're talking about out-of-conference scheduling. It concludes tonight. Who do you think we'll just start? This is a three-part question. I'll just do each part separately so you don't have to memorize each of them. But just real quick, group of five, who gave themselves the hardest out-of-conference scheduling?
I was taking a look at multiple teams. I feel like East Carolina gave themselves a hell of a schedule. They have Arizona State, Louisville, SMU, and Georgia Tech. I mean, you want to go hard or go home? They're facing a lot of ACC teams right there.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump in and say I had two that I was looking at, and I'm just gonna lean towards James Madison, facing UK coach, scheduled Ohio State and NC State, and then I think, you know, a coach that obviously I'm good friends with, but had a bad season last season. I think he has a bounce back season, and that's Chase Pono. Two seasons ago, led the league in passing yards. So when I look at his schedule, he's got Ohio State, NC State, and Hawaii on there. I think that's a good little schedule for James Madison.
Yeah, I love the way that the top guys schedule in the Mountain West. Boise playing Tennessee, awesome to again see that kind of stuff. Really challenge themselves, and then Big Z, San Diego State, always, you know, going above and beyond, looking for games, doesn't shy away from competition. And it's really cool to see someone like Big Z, who went to SDSU, use his team and not, like, you know, shy away from the big games and instead try to go, you know, maybe 11-1, 12-0 to make the CFP. Because I know he's come close the last few years, and he's still not shy about scheduling tough games.
I'm going to jump. I've got two that stood out to me. And one first is Memphis, giving themselves a couple of SEC games in Arkansas and LSU to deal with. And then also newcomer Jay at Florida International gave himself Notre Dame and Oklahoma, which will definitely be some daunting tasks for him to deal with.
Hey, Freak, I'm just going to keep you in the front of the line here for this three-part question, okay? This is part two. Which Power Four team gave themselves the easiest out-of-conference schedule?
This is easy.
See, honestly, I was taking a look at various amount of Power Four teams, and I would love to say Ohio State, but I know he plays his buddies. But I'm just gonna say I wasn't really able to find many.
There's one that sticks out.
I'll let you say it, Pat.
The University of Oregon, dude, step up. Like, it's just not pretty.
What's his out-of-conference schedule, Pat? Share with everybody.
Cal, Oregon State, and some other powder puff.
Is that Oregon State? Is that Oregon State game? Is that a locked-in rivalry game or not?
Yes, it is.
What about you, Joker?
Sorry, Jokers, I skipped you.
I'm gonna pass on this one. I haven't done a good research on that. I was looking at it the other way around and was thinking the toughest out of conference schedule. So I don't want to mess it up. But yep. I thought Duquesne was pretty aggressive with his scheduling. I already mentioned that earlier and say that again. But Yeah, boo-booed that when I read that question, so I apologize.
What do you guys, I'm just going to ask a question, Penguin. Actually, I'll let you go first, Penguin, in case you say this. Go ahead, Penguin.
Okay. I've got to, you cannot not mention Ohio State. Sure, you're playing your buddies, but yeah. Come on, UNLV, Toledo, James Madison, what the hell? But the one that stood out first and foremost, while they've got a very tough conference schedule, Missouri gave themselves Western Michigan, App State, Georgia Tech, and Charlotte. Some of those coaches may be good, but I mean, that's kind of shameful for a team from the SEC out of conference.
Well, and so...
Also, go ahead. Honorable mention, Ole Miss scheduling Iowa State. That's kind of a weak move. I think they could have found someone better.
So you bring up Missouri, which many, that's obviously been a hot topic throughout the chat and stuff, is that if that many believe he has the easiest path in the SEC to maybe a one or a two loss max, because he does avoid a lot of the top teams in the SEC. And so that's interesting. I do, for me, if I was to answer this, is that one of the biggest things I noticed in the out-of-conference scheduling, being a commissioner, I pop in the SEC guys' threads and try to help them schedule games, is that I see a lot of guys that are I'm going to ask you guys a quick question. Who do you think is one of the favorites in the Big 12?
I'd say Utah or Colorado.
Yeah. I'm going to say Andy, Colorado.
Okay.
I'm going to say... Utah, Colorado, and West Virginia.
So I see.
West Virginia.
Cincinnati. I see a lot of guys that schedule games, and when they schedule games, they don't go out like Deacane did. He didn't care about what teams' rankings were or anything. He just went after big teams and big coaches. And I know other guys do that. The guys in the chat. Okay, and Pat, this is not an attack at you, because I don't think you're out trying to win a national championship necessarily. But guys that have really big teams are out here and they're like, hey, I can only take a team that's rated this or this for my win-loss, right? And like when you don't play, if you're in the ACC, you already play a fairly decent, in-conference schedule and stuff. But you see some of these mid-major teams that want to try to go undefeated and then are trying to vie for a national championship, and they won't play anyone tough. Where they're like, I can't take you because you're a plus five, right? You could, hey, just come out and be honest and say that you're scared to lose. Like, you don't have to use like our coaching contract ratings is why you don't want to place them.
Well, my point of view on that is sometimes we don't want that 7.5 or 8.5. We want that even number.
Yep.
So that's the one issue that comes to the play, is like, we want the even numbers. So this way you have a set number of wins to get to, without having to see, oh, if I get seven, but fuck, I'm sorry, but skip it. I missed that 7.5. Now I'm worried about my season success because I'm not hitting that win goal. I won't lie. Big Mike challenged me multiple times. I know that counts as a win for me under my win goal. So yes, I did duck him there.
Because you didn't want to lose. You don't want to lose Michigan.
No comment.
But that makes more sense to me, right? When you're like, hey, man, I got to be careful here. I don't want to lose it. Because athletic directors do that, right? That's why they go and schedule these really crappy teams and pay them a lot of money to come play, is because they think they're going to win every time, right? And so that's real life situation, is when you do avoid certain situations and teams, because you do have to balance out the win-loss, right? Like, what's my win goal? How am I going to get there? How am I going to keep my favorite team? I have a lot of guys that want me to lose it. And so, but like, I mean, this will segue into the next question, Freak, and you can go first, is what is your opinion on Power Four schools avoiding other powerhouse Power Four schools?
I got to say, this season, I didn't see it, but I feel as if the previous three seasons, a lot of Power Four schools would duck the other powerhouses just because they didn't want to take that loss and hurt their win goal. You know, a lot of the times, like Deacane with Georgia, no offense, Deacane, but he's already set at a 10-game win goal. My bad, y'all. And it's kind of hard to say, oh, you know what? Do I really want to schedule a Notre Dame or Michigan with a possibility or potential loss that can hurt the win goal when the SEC is packed as hell with all these quality coaches now. Hope that answers the question.
Now, what about you, Joker? What do you think about the two teams avoiding each other?
Yeah, you know, I think rather new to the NDL, but I noticed last season there's definitely a lot of cupcake games, and you know, I feel like when we look at the schedules, there's not a lot, and so I'm not sure there's a lot of ducking going on. I know that scheduling at South Florida, I was challenging some coaches, and I wasn't necessarily getting any bites. And then when I look at some of their schedules, you know, I look at like the Syracuse coach. I mean, Oregon Ducks and Texas A&M both on their schedule, out of conference games, and so I'm just wondering, you know. Outside of the cupcake games, I don't really see a lot of them, and I'm actually anxious to see kind of how it goes down this year with those guys beating all each other up. If it might give an outside shot at a couple G5 schools getting into the playoffs, because I look at some of those schedules and there's not a lot of teams that are on there. I envision a couple guys going completely undefeated.
Yeah, this season out of the four, definitely you saw the best scheduling, right? Because I do think that some people aren't maybe as afraid to possibly lose the team, Tim, but due to the fact that maybe that team won't be as good in next year's version, right? So they're kind of, this is like their last hurrah type situation. I have to go back really quick to what Freak said. I couldn't agree with him more. The half win thing is stressful. Imagine missing your win goal by a half a game. That's got to be disappointing. So you try to, you know, bump it to get to that even number. So if at least you land right on it, you're safe. I would be pretty upset if I didn't make my win goal by a half a game. But yeah, I think this season more than any, I'll use myself as an example. When I was at Utah, I had a cupcake schedule. So because of the goals on the team, and the team took a 8-point rating hit, and I had to make the college football playoff. So I'm going to schedule to at least try. So everyone has their own motivation when scheduling, and I think each person is separately identifying with what they have to do to make it work for them. So I wouldn't even call it dodging. It's more goal setting. But the reason I use Oregon as an example and Ohio State earlier too is like the Big Ten in the past few seasons, the in-conference has not been fantastic. So, like, you're not really challenging yourself in there. So, challenge yourself outside of it. That's just the way I look at it.
Yeah, and another element, go ahead, Penguin. I always forget you're here. Sorry.
Go ahead, ouch. Penguin. That's hurtful. Okay. Jumping off something that Matt mentioned about motivations for picking, you know, your schedule and whatnot. I think you can narrow a lot of it into three categories. You got the people who are just straight up, you know, alphas looking out there to kill or be killed. And these people are generally the ones lifting trophies at the end of the day. Then you've got the people who are like, you know what? I want to play my boys. Screw what team they have or whatnot. I'm here just to, because they're the people I want to play. And that's their motivation. And you'll find a lot of old heads with a thought process to this. And then you'll have the dudes who I've been guilty of being myself, and I'm freaking saying now I am done with, is counting the win goal and trying to climb and get to, you know, a better team or keep a team. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it is a stressful way to live. You know, you got to decide, am I going to get to that number or not? And that is truly what's governing over who I'm playing. And am I really, what is my ultimate goal? Am I just trying to stay here? Am I trying to tread water? Or am I trying to climb the ladder? And been there, and if it works for you, cool, but no more will I try to do that. That just killed me.
Yeah, I think obviously a big element in scheduling in the NDL comes down to obviously friends playing friends as well. And then obviously no one can deny the fact that after you've been in the NDL for several seasons, you have no playlist of guys that you just don't enjoy playing and you don't want to play, you don't want to schedule, and you avoid. And then you have a group of guys that where you're always playing one of them every season. And then obviously every team has a different amount of games they can schedule. Some guys only have one or two to go out and find out a conference schedule. So I think there's lots of elements that go into the out-of-conference scheduling. I know from being a commissioner, is I do know some of these harder, I do know some guys do have a harder time finding games. like LSU Bucknut every season. He's pushing it right till the deadline to find his games, right? And he's posting in everybody's things. But like a lot of people talk about is no one wants to play the best team, right? Definitely if you don't have a relationship with them or anything. Here's another question for you, and I think, Pat, Joker, you're up first here. Have you been following the Beefy Cup this season? Does anything catch your eye from any of the results so far?
Definitely. Taking a look at some of those games, and you know, one team's got me pretty nervous. That's Charlotte. Took Marion down to the road the other day. Had a big win yesterday against Wake Forest. I think his name's I Crashed My Car or something along those lines. But new coach, obviously has some talent, and excited to see him in the NDL.
For definitely the Utah game was a close one, but I would just like to point out how many points are being scored in these games. It's pretty wild. And it kind of goes to a different topic we can talk about, obviously, that's been wildly speculated, is the Heisman versus All-American debate. When you play four seasons of a game that's almost been out for, you know, 19 months, everyone's getting really good. And I just think, you know, maybe people aren't, when people say they're trying stuff out in their cup game, it's pretty hard if you're trying stuff out to average about 49 to 50 points from every team. I think people are either taking them more serious or just everyone's getting really good. But that's what's standing out to me is these high scoring games.
I've seen two things. Say one, from what I've seen so far, Oregon and Shell looks angry after the way their last season went and part of their cup season. They were dispatching their first two opponents with impunity. I think that caught my attention. And then SMU bringing extreme dishonor onto their household and their ancestors with falling in a cup game to a certain opponent.
Vic? I gotta say, unfortunately, I have not had the opportunity to pay attention to the Beefy Cup as of at the very moment. I've been working a lot, so I haven't had the opportunity to actually watch and take a look at the scores. What I will say is I'm interested to see what the outcome of pool number six is going to be. I feel like that is one of the most stacked pools we have this season, dealing with having Ole Miss and Smitty, you have James Madison there, you have Utah State, you have Indiana, and also Washington State University. So I believe that's going to be a slugfest, and be interesting to see who comes out on top there.
And I'm really excited about all the media matchups we have this season, whether it's at a conference or in the Beefy Cup. I've noticed a lot of media members get to play each other this year, which is pretty exciting. Something I just want to bring up real quick. This is a shout out to Block, probably one of the media's biggest fans in the audience, always, every day. Block M's doing an NDL highlight and image competition this year for season 32. Basically, you send him any highlight from an NDL game, non-scrimmage, and also any image competition, which is image from your games, whether it's a whatever kind of image you end up snagging from one of your games. There's a $100 cash prize for each competition. You submit your highlights to Block M to be entered into the competition. His Discord name is Trajan James Fragiles, also known as Block M, SMU coach. Next up, we're going to let Freak talk about the NDL media team and what they're doing for this NDL draft, per se. He can explain it more. Go ahead, Freak.
The NDL team this season is going to do a NDL draft out of the roster pool of NDL teams. The draft will be based on season success. The media members will be required to select 14 from the league. The 14 will consist of two Power 4 schools and two Group of 5 schools. Notre Dame will be included in the Power 4 schools. For every game, the NDL team that the media team does happen to select, that team member will receive 1 point for regular season win. If a group of five school upsets a Power 4 school, they will receive an additional point. You also receive 1 point for if the team happens to make the conference championship game, and 2 points if that team wins the conference championship. I believe it's going to it's definitely going to be fun drafting against the media peers. I'm gonna run a lottery draft from 100 yard rush, I believe it is. It's going to be pretty cool, and I look forward to it. It actually got a lot of the media members talking, like Pat, Penguin, Andy. So they can give their own opinions on what it's going to be like as well, since Pat and Penguin are here.
Razorback said, Freak, that he doesn't understand a single thing that you're talking about. He's going to need that written out as if they're all third graders.
That sounds like a plan. I got it typed up.
Here, I'll give you the dumbed down version. Basically, the Endale media team is going to select four teams, which will consist of two Power 4 schools and two Group of 5 schools. They'll have their own draft. They'll get points based upon how those teams perform in the NDL. So basically, I'm going to state, hey, I'm taking Syracuse and Mark because I think Mark's going to go out there and win 7 games. Boom. And so forth. Right? Is that right, Freak?
That is correct.
Okay, and they get more points the further they make it on through the conference championship, if they make any college football playoffs and stuff like that. There'll be more about that, and you guys will be able to follow how that goes and who everyone picks and everything. I think that was that a Freak and Andy thing?
That was definitely an Andy thing. He brought it up, and then I decided to put it in our media chat to see who's going to participate.
Awesome. Man, what a great show. I think that's right around 30 minutes. Does anyone else have anything else to add?
Just excited for a fourth season. I like to be a little outspoken when I said I was not looking forward to a fourth season. And I will admit that I was completely wrong. And I'm very excited. And I see that the league as a whole seems to be excited. So that's really cool. And I think the media stuff helps that out. So I'm glad we're doing it.
What Pat said. I concur.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys. Freak, great job on the show. Freak's the new producer of the PTD. So make sure you go out and give him a big hug, a virtual hug. Stay tuned this Saturday, NDL kickoff season 32, NDL game day. Game of the week is a game that someone already mentioned, is Georgia versus Notre Dame. They're not playing Saturday, but we do have some other teams that are playing. We have Ank on the show as well as Fired Up Chip with Central Michigan. Obviously one of the front runners for mid-major to make it to the college football playoff, as well as don't forget to check out Big Red and Joker's show last night on Twitch. And then we have some other media content that'll be popping out with Sammy and D-Kane and Penguin. I think you're doing something with D-Kane, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's still in development, but yeah, there will be a show coming produced by D-Kane that I'll be assisting with.
And Chip is in med school, I believe, to become a doctor. Can we do like a weekend warrior segment of people asking him questions about their injuries from old age?
Yeah, like we'll have to have everyone sign disclaimers stating they won't take that as like medical
advice. Yeah, like why does my right hip always hurt when it's under 50 degrees outside? Something like that.
Man, I appreciate it, guys. The NDL media team loves all the listeners right now. It's a Thursday afternoon, and we had, 20 live listeners in Discord only. Pretty wonderful. We love you guys. Talk to you guys later.